Hello. Come on in, everybody. How are we doing tonight? I have got a little bit of a cold, but I am so excited to be here. I am Coach Betsy, and I'm so excited to be doing these monthly binge coaching calls. All right, I'm going to bring up Coach Kathy. Y'all, it's a dream team tonight. Yeah, come in and say hi in the chat. It's a dream team tonight. I'm coaching. Kathy's in the chat in the Q&A. If I can get her up here. All right, there you go, Kathy. So if you have, there we go. Let me get myself where I can see myself correctly. I think I need to pin myself is what I need to do. All right. Kathy is going to be in the Q&A in the chat, and I am going to be in on screen and talking with y'all, coaching with y'all. Yes. All right. Just let us know. Just say hi in the chat. Be sure you've set your chat to everyone so we can see you. And please put any questions that you have in the Q&A. I'd love to answer questions. I know when we're talking about binging, some of you all aren't quite comfortable yet, especially maybe some of you new. Are there any new members here? We've had a good little crop of new members joining us in the last couple of weeks. But you all just may want to ask a question tonight, and that's totally fine and not get on screen. But I would love for any of you all who would want to get on and raise your hand and get some coaching tonight on specifically on around binging and overeating. So yeah, let's do this. Okay, great. Zanna asked an amazing question, and this is definitely a great question, especially for our new members. You are not on camera. I cannot see you or hear you. This is what we call a Zoom webinar. And that means that I am the only one on camera and I have the power. I am the only one who has the power to bring anyone on screen with me. And so the way that it works is that if you raise your hand and you want to come on screen with me to coach, then you can do that. And I would love to have some people. Oh, look, Allison has raised her hand. So I'm going to talk with her in a minute. Okay, everybody can hear me fine. All right. If you can hear me, it's probably on your side, and I bet you just need to check on your Zoom settings or maybe kind of turn up your phone or your computer a little bit. So, but great question. I'm so glad to help all of our new members who have come in. Ooh, I've got a couple of people raising their hands. So, all right, y'all, we're going to get to coaching here in a second, but I do want to, just because this is my first call to be doing this, kind of on a monthly basis, I wanted to introduce myself and just tell you all my story about binging. And I was thinking about it today, and I will never forget, it was at a camp, an OBS camp, several years ago, many years ago now. And Corinne came up to me and said, I'm going to be talking about binging tomorrow, and I wanted to know if you would share your story about binging. And I will tell you all, at that point, I had not talked to a lot of people about my binging, other than my coach and Corinne. And Corinne was one of my coaches at that time. But I hadn't talked a lot to my family members about it. I hadn't talked to a lot of the No BS, other No BS women about it. And here I was on stage at a camp, and I agreed to talk about my binging story. And I will tell you all, ever since that day, every single time I share anything about my experience being a binge eater, I always say that it always comes back to me in some way. Sometimes it's not how I expect, but anytime I can be vulnerable and share my story and just share something that I've gone through that may be something similar that you all have gone through, then I know that it can benefit. I know it can benefit you all. So yes, like Jean said, it just helps us when we talk openly Or we read other people that are talking openly about what they're experiencing, and we've experienced it too. It helps us to normalize it, right? It helps us not to feel so broken, not to have so much shame around around our binging and around just any choice that we make in life. And so I was thinking of kind of when my binging started, and I really can't really pinpoint the exact time, but I do know that all throughout college and grad school, and then, you know, starting my career and moving to a couple of different cities, I definitely started a habit of overeating, eating more than my body needed. I definitely have a lot of perfectionist thinking, where if I don't do something just right, or I don't know the right thing to do, and so I don't do anything at all, I really beat myself up. I can be very hard on myself sometimes, and I know where that comes from. I definitely have a lot of awareness around my sweet, sweet dad. I got that from him. And actually, Coach Kathy is one of the ones who coached me one time, and she said, what if just this need to do the right thing, or this need to be perfect, is just in your DNA, and that's okay. And it really is in my DNA, y'all. I was with my dad the other day, and he is a big Arkansas Razorback football fan. And y'all, they were like 40, 50 points ahead in the game. There was pretty much no way they weren't going to lose the game. And he still was angry and upset about every single mistake that they made. And I was just observing him when I was watching the game. Usually, I'm not around when he watches sports, because it's not the most pleasant experience in the world. But I just reminded myself that, you know what? I just get it from him. And I grew up with him, you know, and watching him. And so I know that that's where it comes from. And I know that it's okay. And I know that it's normal that a lot of us experience that. And I know that when I started binging, that's what I was doing, what I was trying to help myself and trying to take care of myself when I thought that I had made a really bad mistake, or I was feeling a lot of shame. And so it's just something that I know that I just chose to do. I don't know. I like to eat. I love food. And I think that it just, at some point I thought, you know what? I don't want to stop eating, because if I stop eating, I'm going to keep feeling this shame. I'm going to keep feeling, you know, hearing a lot of these perfectionist thoughts. And so it just became a habit over time. And then I think it increased more and more over time. I think it started with overeating and maybe just eating a little bit past enough. A lot of times I was in a job where I would leave work and go and pick up lunch. For a long time, where I worked was I commuted like 45 minutes every day. So I really couldn't go home for work for lunch. And so I would get in my car and I would go get something to eat, and I would drive around and eat it. And that was really a way for me to kind of check out and just zone out in the middle of the day. And I think that became a habit. And then over time, I was like, just the food increased more and more. And I started feeling a lot of shame about it, because I was also gaining weight. And so I felt more shame. And so I ate more. And all during this time, I was not telling anyone. I was by myself. I was driving around in my car by myself. And it was, you know, it was definitely in secret. And for those of you all who are new, and may kind of want to know kind of our definition of binging around here at NoBS, typically, but again, everyone can have a little bit of a different definition. Typically, it is a larger amount of food eaten in a smaller amount of time, and there's a lot of shame attached to it. But again, how you define a large amount of food, how you define a small amount of time, is totally individual and totally, you know, different for everyone. And but all of this that we're talking about today and on all these calls, anyone who overeats just a few bites can benefit from what we're talking about. So that's really how my binging started. And it again just kind of became a habit. So whenever I was feeling a lot of big feelings, when I was re ever really beating myself up or feeling a lot of shame, my mind just said, well, let's eat. We'll feel better if we eat. We'll be able to kind of check out if we eat. Or a very clear thought that I heard and that I still hear sometimes is, ooh, that would be fun. We could eat a bunch of stuff. That would be fun. So it wasn't a lot of times it wasn't like a big, dark, heavy thought. It was kind of a light, like kind of giddy thought. That's what my urge sounded like. And so it's like, ooh, that would be fun. Let's just go do that. And over time, I was able to hear that thought. And now I'm at a time where I still sometimes binge every once in a while, usually not in the frequency and the amounts that I used to, because I used to sometimes binge several times a week. And I now do it maybe every few months, but it's a smaller amount. It's less often. And I've really gotten to, I recently got certified in to be a yoga instructor. I've really worked on getting inside my body, kind of out of my head and into my body through yoga and other things that I'm going to talk about in a second. And I really am aware now of how much binging, is such an uncomfortable thing in my body. And I really just don't want to experience that anymore. And so that's why the amount of food has really decreased. But sometimes I just choose to eat to try to feel better, and that is okay. I am someone who may just binge every once in a while, and that may look different than it did before. And sometimes you can call it overeating, you can call it binging. But just saying that I may choose to do it sometimes, and that can be okay, that brings me a lot of peace, y'all. That just feels good in my body. To just be kinder to myself and nurture myself a little bit with whatever it is that I choose to do. So that's a little bit about my story. As I continue doing these calls, I'm sure more will come up about my experience. But I've been here at OBS for over 5 years, for about 5.5 years as a full-time coach. I've coached all so many women on binging and overeating and Coach Kathy and I started about the same time, and we have seen it all, we have heard it all, and we are here to help you all. So, all right. Well, the one other thing that I just want to tell you all about real quick. So for those of you all who are new, excuse me, be sure that you have completed the No BS Weight Loss course before you kind of dive into anything that we're going to talk about here. So the No BS Weight Loss course is your priority number one. And then you may consider choosing one of our pathways, going through the Trusting Your Body course. And Kathy's going to put the link to that there. And but it's the No BS Weight Loss course. Our foundation course is your first priority. Okay. So, speaking of trusting your body, that is our amazing course that was done by our amazing coach, Jane, who, has done these calls in the past. And I've just been reviewing the course, kind of getting prepared for this call. And y'all, oh my gosh. It is just a treasure trove of resources and just amazing information about really getting out of our head and into our body. Coach Jane talked about that several times. And so that is what it's all about, because that is where our emotions live, is in our bodies. And there is a toolkit that is part of the Trusting Your Body course. And that's just what I wanted to remind you all about today. That toolkit, talk about a treasure trove. There are resources there about how to really get into your body, get in touch with your body, and ground yourself, breathing, just taking a pause, giving yourself a hug. We talk sometimes about just putting your hand over your heart and taking a few deep breaths can just make the difference when we have an urge to binge or overeat. And so, yeah, just I really encourage you all. Kathy just put the link to the toolkit in the chat. And I just really encourage you all to revisit it or just to visit it if you never have. There are meditations in there and audios that Coach Jane recorded. And but you can also use the Calm app or another meditation app. Tapping is another resource that we introduce you to in that toolkit. So just all kinds of amazing resources there for you. So maybe in future calls, I may take one of those specific tools and we'll go through it together. But I really just encourage you all to look at the toolkit and just explore one. I mean, and again, it's just as simple as a pause sometimes. So I just think it's an underutilized resource that we have inside of NoBS. And a lot of times our members talk about we need a feelings course. We need a course on how to feel our feelings. Well, trusting your body is it. Trusting your body is about how to feel your feelings. You could rename it that if you wanted to. So if you all are really kind of, you've reviewed the lessons on feelings in the NoBS course, module 2, and you really want to get going with practicing feeling your feelings, trusting your body is where it's at. So, all right, now that I've just filled you all in and kind of done a little bit of teaching, let's do some coaching. So let me get a drink of water. And let's do this. All right, Allison, told you were up first. So let's go.
Hi.
How are you?
Good, good. It's good to see you guys.
Yeah.
So one of the things I've noticed, because I just did the math, I'm up 19.4 pounds.
Okay.
Now, granted, I've had a lot going on, but one of the things I've noticed with my binging, and I never used to think of myself as a binger because it didn't feel emotionally driven. But the amount of food I can consume, but I don't feel the shame. I'm kind of like, I'm like, wow, I can't believe I just did that and I don't feel sick. Part of it is I was curious if there's almost like a sensory issue.
Tell me more about that. Yeah, tell me more about that.
So recently I was doing a lot of stuff and there's been a lot going on. And I was taken back to like thoughts of high school and grade school and all that. And I would always chew the pen caps and I was always kind of chewing on stuff that would like gross other people out. And because in school I didn't have food there. And I'm curious to see if I am going after the food almost in that same manner. And I've also had like a lot of dental work and I happen to suck a lot and it's pulled my teeth in. And then someone said that sucking action is like it's connected with focus.
Okay. Okay.
So I'm just curious if you had any insight off with something that, because I'm eating random shit that I don't even like. Like I don't even eat meat and meat was starting to look good. I was like, oh, and I'm like, I don't eat that. Like I don't want that.
Well, let's go back to, you said, you know, you don't think it's emotionally driven and, but you were talking about shame, but sometimes, you know, the shame can happen. The shame can definitely happen before, you know, and then, you know, like we want to cover up the shame with eating, but then a lot of times it can happen after and it can lead to more eating, but it's like if and this is for everyone, if, you know, if you're not really sure what's going on or that, you know, you're not really sure if you're trying to kind of cover up an emotion or to avoid an emotion, the best way to kind of test that out or to just kind of get curious about that is when you have an urge, you don't eat. And you see what happens instead. Yeah. Why are you laughing?
Like, this. And lately, I was working on something and mentally like took me back to high school where I felt like I was really having like anxiety on having to write stuff. And that's where I feel like it really kind of came up. So it's definitely feelings.
So anxiety is a feeling, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of times it's, you know, anxiety sometimes is, I mean, that can, you can have a very specific definition of how anxiety feels to you. Sometimes I feel like that's kind of more of a general kind of umbrella term. Sometimes it's just restlessness. Like if I didn't eat right now, sometimes, and with some of my private clients, I like to, you know, just let's just pretend the food just poof disappeared and you couldn't eat it. What would you be experiencing? What emotion would you be experiencing in that moment if you didn't have the food?
What popped in my head, I would be doing like laps. I would like probably be doing loops.
Loops in your mind.
No, like even probably around the house.
Let's say you couldn't do that. Like, let's say you were glued to the chair.
I'm already feeling.
What would you feel?
That unsettled, like anxious, uncomfortable, restless, that totally the restless.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's so common. I mean, you know, I said that because that's really a lot of times the emotion that one of the very common emotions that we're avoiding when we eat is restless. But that's kind of, you know, in a way, you know, like, you know, you could think about it like that's it. You know, in the moment, it may just feel so, you know, unbearable. But all it is some restlessness that we can practice feeling, even just for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Just to kind of get to know it, and we can always give ourselves permission to eat later if we want to. But could I sit here for just 10 seconds, 30 seconds, mm-hmm. and feel restless?
You just nailed it for me. I never put the word restless on it. And that's exactly it. And I kept thinking it was something bigger or something, but it is that restlessness. And then as long as I acknowledge that, then I can probably be like, yeah, not today. Like I can do the work around it.
Yeah. One of my favorite kind of thoughts is where you can kind of fill in the blanks. It's like, oh, this is when I feel blank, you know, restless. This is when I just feel blank and I want to eat and I have an urge to eat because I just haven't practiced, or I'm just practicing. Let me kind of say it more in the present tense. I'm just practicing feeling things instead of eating. And I got me. I can do this. Yeah. But again, start with 10 or 30. You know, don't start with like a whole 5 minutes or a long time. Literally, well, 10 seconds can be really powerful.
I think you already just so helped me because I never really put that word to it. I kept thinking it was something, you know, it really is that simple. I'm feeling restless and that's okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you. I feel better.
All right. Good to see you. All right. See you later. Too.
Bye. Bye.
Right. Kathy, feel free to save me any questions if you want to, but if you got them, go for it. All right. I'm not sure who this is because I think maybe her name starts with an R. So I'm going to guess. Let's see. Are you there? Need to get you unmuted. Ask you to unmute. Right. And then start your camera so I can see you if you want to.
Okay. I'm trying to find my camera. Oh, here we go.
Okay.
There we go.
Okay. Hello. What's your name?
It's Ruth.
Ruth. Okay. Hi, Ruth.
Hi. Nice to meet you.
Yes, you too. What's going on?
Well, this is interesting. You know, I'm trying to be more in touch with, you know, I ask myself a lot of times throughout the day, Ruth, are you physically hungry? Because I know that I can eat and not be physically hungry. So recently I found myself in the situation where we didn't have lunch for quite a while. And I thought, oh, this is good. I really have the hunger going. But it was as if I was starving. It seemed like it set into motion the sense of, Oh, okay. So then I just seemed to take off after I had lunch. I mean, I was out having lunch with my sisters, and I was like, it's almost as if it gave me permission just to kind of go haywire, if that makes any sense. I will refer to it as, I feel like I'm possessed or I'm powerless, and I just hate that because I thought, on one hand, I want to be aware of hunger, and I'll say, you know what? There's always more food. You have money. You can go out and get it. But that blows my mind.
Okay, so let's back it up a little bit to kind of maybe
Okay.
that specific example when you went out to lunch. Were you truly physically hungry?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I really was. I mean, I was just kind of like,
Do you think
oh.
you were maybe a little bit, a little bit overly hungry or a little bit past
Yes.
hungry?
Yeah.
Okay. So normal, right? So normal. This is where we want to remind ourselves of the way that our brain works, the way that our kind of habit brain, we could call it our primal brain works. I don't think this ever ends, and I don't think I want it to end. That when I get a little bit overly hungry, my brain freaks out a little bit because you know why it does that?
Because I need food. I
Like
mean,
it's trying to keep us alive,
oh,
right?
okay. And I'm also aware of it goes back to even like childhood stuff with me. It was like, if you didn't eat when food was around or your dessert, then that meant it was fair games for my brothers to get it. I mean,
Right.
it's, yeah, or they're not
So
being in.
more evidence of how this makes total sense for you, Ruth, that when you're just a little bit overly hungry, and again, probably just, lunch was just a little bit later or something than you planned to eat, whatever it was, right? We just sometimes we're gonna just go a little bit beyond how long we usually wait, or usually eat. And so if we can just understand what's happening, where it's like, oh, okay, my brain thinks that my brain's not doesn't know when we're gonna eat, right? It
Right.
thinks we're out in the jungle foraging for food. And so it just knows that we're a little bit more hungry than we usually get, and our life is in danger. Like, again, I'm not saying this is,
No, I get that.
it doesn't make sense. And then again, you add on to it's like when that primal brain kind of comes in online, it also kind of it really holds on to a lot of old stories and childhood stories and all of that too. That's all in there together.
And that's when I'll usually come out and say, okay, little Ruthie, you don't have to worry. You're an adult. You have plenty of money. And because I've thrown out food, I'm like, I don't need to have that around me, or I give it to the dog. And so I'm stopping the old thinking of, oh, there's not going to be enough.
Yeah. But I think for you, maybe from what I hear, I think it would be good for you to kind of soften things up just a little bit. Because I hear you kind of
I'm
being
sorry,
more
say soften up.
soften up how you're talking to yourself a little bit.
Oh,
And this kind
okay.
of goes back to that toolkit where we talk about kind of grounding and putting our hand over our heart, and like we can even call ourselves like a, sweetheart or honey, or give ourselves like a little name, and or just even just say, I actually call myself Bets because my name is
Okay.
Betsy, and people who love me call me Bets. And so I just say like, hey Bets, we know what's going on here. We know we're just a little bit, we're just a little bit more hungry than we usually get, and we know what happens. All this is okay. And I hear you kind of wanting to eat all the
Okay.
things and making all this a big deal, and that's okay. We know that you're just scared that we're not sure when we're gonna eat again, and that's okay. So it's just a little bit softer.
Okay, could I ask one other question?
Sure, of course.
Because this was different, and I did go, I have not done this since I've been in No BS, but I had something happen where it caused me, first I just said, oh, I was so pissed off, and no, a friend helped me realize I was enraged. I mean, I came home from work, construction people came a week early, tore up my concrete driveway and walks and everything. And it was later in the evening. It's like I didn't know what to do with myself, but I was doing okay. And I sometimes have this meditation process that I went through. But because that brain was going, and I'd even talked to somebody, I got up and I went to the freezer and I got out a couple of things and nuts and that. And I was like, wow, I haven't done that. Now, see, you know, that's like, that was a different kind of binge for me, because that wasn't volumes of food. It was enough. It was still an overeat, but it was that sense of rage. But I think I've come to realize it's because I felt violated, that somebody was just my property.
Well, you said that it was a different kind of binge for you, and yes. I see it maybe even more as more of a different binge for you than you do, like in a good way. I see, you know, and this is where kind of the whole concept of binging better. We used to have a course before Trusting Your Body. We had a course called Binge Better. And sometimes just that term is like, wait, what? You know, like you can binge better. But what I hear from you telling that story is that in the past, you wouldn't have reached out to a friend. And you did.
Oh, yeah, I did.
In the past, you maybe wouldn't have done like a meditation or even like even noticed what was going on in your body. You know,
I would have been ordering the pizza.
Okay.
You know?
Okay. So we got a lot to celebrate here that you binged better in that situation.
You know what I think the connection of these two incidences, it's that feeling of being out of control.
It just popped into my head. Are you really out of control?
I'm sorry, you're asking me if I am?
Yeah.
Well, it seemed like I certainly made a deliberate action.
Okay, so that's not out of control, right? That sounds in control.
Okay.
You just made some choices, right? You just made some choices. It may have felt out of control in the moment, but really thinking back, it's you want to question that. Right?
Okay.
You want to question that. Because like, again, what I hear is that you were aware of so many things. When we're out of control, we're not like aware of anything. You know?
There was a lot going around. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Thank you.
All right. Anything else?
I think that's enough for now.
Okay, good, good. Well, you just got a lot to celebrate here. So
thanks. I appreciate that.
And I want you to keep noticing that, okay?
Okay, thanks.
All right, take care. All right. Popping cough drop number two. I think we're gonna make it, y'all. All right, Mary Elizabeth. Anybody else who wants to get coach? Raise your hand. All right. Let's see, Mary Elizabeth, are you coming on? Okay, Mary Elizabeth, you declined. So you can, if you can, just go in and take your hand down. And we'll do Deborah. Sometimes you just accidentally raise your hand. It's down on reactions. Under reactions, there's a little arrow, and that's where you can take your, okay, good, you took your hand down. All right, Miss Deborah. Hello.
Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, this is a first for me.
Proud of you for coming on. Raise your hand. Come on.
Thank you. Well, I was expecting someone to be before me, but so it happened faster. I have a past history of bulimia, and so my binge eating also was interspersed with purging. I don't do that anymore. I mostly overeat. I still do some binge eating. Mm-hmm. There are certain foods that I still associate with my bulimia days, and I still don't feel safe. And it's a pretty big category is pasta.
Okay. Okay.
And even if I put it on my plan, if I have a little bit, it's like I have to have a lot. I can't seem to eat a normal portion. It's like the minute I eat certain foods, that in particular, it's like the wheels come off.
Okay. All right. So what I hear is you practicing. You're practicing putting, you're putting the foods on the, your plan. And you're
not always, because right now I'm afraid to put it on my, I've tried a few times and each time it didn't end well. So it was like evidence.
Well, that may be the thing right there, is that you're thinking it didn't end well. But here's the thing. There was a time you weren't putting it on the plan at all. And you weren't.
But I was still binging on it.
Right.
So the difference is I'm binging on it either way, whether I put it on the plan or not. And well, in most cases, I don't even want to put it on the plan.
Is it a level up, though, that you've just at least put it on the plan? Because if we're binging on it anyway, we could at least start with an intentional choice to put it on the plan. That's a little bit more control, right? That's a little bit more choice that you gave yourself.
Most of the time, I don't put it on the plan. I know about the good, better, and best.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't get past thinking of it as anything with white flour, you know, whether it's bread or pasta. I can't get past thinking of it as being bad food.
Yeah, and that's so normal, right? With the world that we live in and the conditioning we've been exposed to. How does that make total sense for you? That you would
well, I can't get past the images in grade school of making paper mache and using flour and water. And I think of all that gunking up my insides, but there's that. But there's also just knowing that it's always been my gateway to full on binging kind of food that I just,
Sense, right? There's a lot of fear and kind of out of controlness, you know, or fear of being out of control that comes along with those foods for you.
A couple of times I put it on the plan and I did plan to eat a reasonable portion, but then I just kept wanting more and more and more. It was like, it's like the all or nothing.
So it sounds to me like the kind of the solution here is to plan the pasta and plan urges for more pasta right along with it. I mean, even literally write that on the plan. I'm going to plan to have pasta tonight. And when it's time for me to stop, when I'm at enough, I know I'm going to want more. Of course I am. I'm used to eating more. My brain, it's a habit.
Mm.
And so just normalizing that. Because I think you're thinking you shouldn't have urges for more. But why in the world wouldn't you?
No, I mean, it makes total sense based on my history. No, I do think that it makes total sense. Mm-hmm. It's just that I don't. I think my thinking is very restrictive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of there, you know, unlike in the past, I do have some awareness, you know, that I'm wanting more and I'm not hungry,
but
this is the food and I'm going to do it anyway. It's almost like I'm going to eventually, so might as well, you know, it's like all that white knuckle or all the discomfort just seems, It's like, I'm going to go through all that and then I'm going to give in anyway. So
what's the point?
Is that I can see that that's not a helpful part.
Well, I'm so glad that you like talk that through, right? Because
I know it sounds so crazy, but in the moment, I mean, now I have some perspective.
Well, and that's why we do coaching, right? That's
all perspective is.
Well, that's why we're talking about it now, right?
Yeah.
Because when you can kind of be at a little bit of a distance from it, you can see like, oh, well, wait a minute, though. I did have a thought that I was at enough and, you know, I didn't really need to eat more, maybe, you know, or something like that. But then I had an urge for more and I decided to just go along with the, you know, the habit that I had done. Go ahead.
What do you do if you have a whole bunch of thoughts? Because I can see all these sub thoughts, like, I want it, I deserve it, I need to relax, it tastes good. I could see all these, you know, when they come at you so quickly, it's like a fire hose of thoughts. Mm-hmm. And the four ends doesn't seem like enough in the moment to deal with it.
I think this is where, again, we can take one of the tools from this toolkit that I talked about, which is literally the pause. I mean, just as simple as, okay, I hear you. I hear all the thoughts. And that's okay. They're coming in hot and heavy, you know, fast and furious. And I'm just going to let them come and give myself, you know, about a minute to just let them come before I put anything in my mouth. And then you could build up to a longer amount of time, you know, if you wanted to. But just creating a little bit of space between those urge thoughts and the eating. Oh my gosh. That just puts you in this place of like, okay, I'm really in charge here. I do not have to immediately, you know, put a piece of pasta in my mouth.
I have tried pausing because I remember hearing that if you don't resist it, that a feeling, which an urge is a feeling, mm-hmm. will go away in 90 seconds or about 2 minutes at most.
Mm-hmm.
What I noticed, though, well, maybe that's it. Maybe I was still resisting because I use that pause as like, it's just a delay tactic to, I'm going to have it anyway. So it really didn't seem like it helped.
Well, but it is different. It's different. You know, we focus so much on like, well, the only, you know, good enough option is for me to not eat, you know, for me to stop, you know, stop eating or to not eat more. And it's like, no, I put 30 seconds between my urge and that food. That is a huge win.
30 seconds doesn't seem difficult. So you're saying to keep increasing the time, that'll be my level up. So even if I eat it, I mean, because it feels like the end result is the same, but what you're saying is build the capacity to.
Exactly. It's not the same.
It's not going to be just a delay tactic to go ahead and do it eventually anyway. I mean,
we call it the pause plus permission process. It's a thing, you know, we have a name for it. That's how common it is. And that's how it's, you know, it's a thing. It's called pause plus permission. So basically it is a way that we build safety and trust with ourselves where, okay, I'm just going to allow a little bit of space here before I decide whether or not I'm going to eat, but I can absolutely eat if I want to, but I'm just going to let
that's the part I have a hard time with is the pause is not the problem. The permission is.
That's
the part I'm having a problem with it. It feels like I'm gaming this, like I'm pausing to delay and I'm saying I'm giving myself permission, but I'm not. But I don't feel right about it. It's like, even if I have a little bit, then it feels like, then it goes into the fuck it eating, you know, the kind of thing.
So many of us try to jump over the, you know, the permission part. But that's a required part of the process. We have to give ourselves permission and be okay with what we're choosing to do before we can ever stop doing it.
Yeah.
We have to meet ourselves where we are and say, it is okay if I choose to eat this.
That doesn't make me a bad person. How can I say that if I don't, but I don't really believe that. That's the problem, is I can say it to myself, but I don't really believe that it's okay.
Mm-hmm. And maybe that's where your practice is right now.
Mm.
Because, I mean, the discovery worksheet that we have, where we talk about, you know, the last question on the discovery worksheet is, if I didn't make this overeat a big deal, you know, what would I do next?
That's probably where I need to go. Yeah, I could feel that because that's so totally the opposite of the condemnation and the judgment. Yeah.
And that's where we can't jump over that step to get to like just not eating, because it never sticks. Right. It never works where it's just like, well, I just don't want to eat anymore. And it's like, well, you don't want to eat anymore because you think you're so terrible for eating.
Yeah.
When all we're doing is just making a choice to just eat some stuff.
I know there's so much drama in it, in something that seems like it should be normal, but it hasn't been for me since early childhood.
Yeah. So many of us, right? And so where we have to, you know, move to, or where kind of the next step is for you, is to really work on having compassion for yourself and your decisions while you're, I mean, and that's where that's kind of what you can be doing in that pause time is, okay, if I do choose to eat, I'm doing it from a place of a little bit more consciousness, a little bit more compassion for myself, a little bit more, you know, just being with myself rather than just saying, fuck it and check out and, you know, see how fast you can get everything in your mouth.
Because it I have to say that giving myself permission seems like a pretty challenging thing for me right now, is to give that permission.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think I'm getting more awareness. But
anything that's new to us, right, can feel hard at first. This is what practice looks like at first.
So I practice by saying it, and how do I get myself to believe it? I don't have a good history of, every time I've told myself I'm going to allow something or I'm going to do something different, you know, my track record has been of I'm lying to myself each time. So
what if you don't have to believe it?
If I don't have to believe it, and I could just say it and. Well, that takes a lot of the angst out of it.
I actually heard Corinne.
This is like a battle going on in my head of this, you know. It's
but
like
your brain right now is saying, like, you know, we have to believe this to be able to do it.
Yeah.
I heard Corinne say the other day on a coaching call, y'all, I don't remember which one it was because I've been listening to jumping around all of them, but she said the first 50 pounds of her weight loss, she didn't believe she could do it. She just didn't, I mean, she didn't believe she could do it. She believed she could, like, you know, get up and go take a walk for 15 minutes. And so she did.
Mm-hmm.
But she didn't have, you know, she didn't have belief, much less 100% belief. She just kept doing stuff. She kept practicing. She kept planning stuff. She kept pausing.
Until something started.
It's like belief. There's not like a checklist to believe, or there's not a, I wish I could give it to you, or I, you know, probably wouldn't be sitting here right now. I'd be on a beach somewhere.
It's like, how do I become a believer? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like I'm wanting to, it's almost like I'm wanting a guarantee that it's going to work before I can believe it's going to work. I could see that's what's going on in my brain, but that's the battle. Maybe
you earn belief, or you build belief.
Yeah.
By building trust and safety with yourself, decision after decision, day after day.
I could see that's going to take that, even if I give myself permission and it doesn't go well, I can see that not beating up on myself is going to be important. Otherwise, I'm never going to get to trust. Otherwise, it's just going to be more evidence of how I can't trust myself.
Exactly. Exactly. We build trust and safety by, hearing that, beating ourselves up, and nurturing ourselves in that moment. And saying, I hear you. I hear you. Just like, when I was saying how I'm hard on myself, I hear you. I know where this comes from, and it's okay. I'm safe. We don't have to be perfect, or, whatever we want to say to ourselves, but that's the key.
Okay. I don't think I've talked to myself in a long time. I think I just try to quiet all that chatter in my head.
And again, that pause can be an amazing time to kind of ground yourself, just like, touch yourself in some way, get in, really connect to your body and say, okay, maybe take a deep breath.
Mm.
We're okay. We're okay. We're safe.
Yeah, that's a better use for that pause, is to ground myself rather than go into this debate and this argument. Yeah,
because that's not really helping, right? That's not really. It's just just hear. Just, I hear you. I hear you. I know. I hear you. Yeah.
And even if you do, I'm not gonna. I guess it's the making myself wrong, that I think that's really the, if I follow that, that's the real pain point, is the afterwards, the feeling afterwards. That's actually worse than the urge.
Well, there is an amazing resource, speaking of, in the Trusting Your Body course. This is a resource I give out to a lot of my private clients. And it's called How to Nurture Yourself After an Overeat.
Okay.
So we will definitely have that link to that worksheet on the notes for this call. But it really is all that we've talked about during our session, Deborah, where it's, what do I really need in this moment? Just gets curious about kind of what's happening. Where is the, where are the wins? Where's, I believe we use the treasure. Where's the treasure in this experience? What did I learn here? And how is it just normal? How is all of this okay? So check that out. Okay.
How is this all okay?
Yeah.
I like that. I'll give my brain something new to chew on. No pun intended.
All right.
Thank you so much.
All right. So good to see you. Take care. All right. Gosh, time flies, right? When we're having fun here. Okay. So Coach Kathy left me one question to answer, and it's about inner child. Your inner child, she said, Debbie said, what to do when the inner child or rebel is strong? And here's the thing, y'all. That inner child in us, there might be lots of, might be lots of selves inside of us that are maybe different ages. And some of them do want to rebel. They are strong. That is 100% normal. They have had a lot of time to kind of craft their message to us in what they think we need. So it's totally normal that voice can sound very, very loud very strong, very, you know, just convincing. And here's what you do. Again, y'all, the only any of our voices inside of us, any of our inner voices, ourselves, cough drop number three, it just wants to be heard. She just wants to be heard. She just wants to be acknowledged. And so that's where we can just, when we hear those strong voices inside of us, that's where we can take advantage of the pause and we can stop and say, I hear you. I know you're just scared. I like to think of those voices, those inner children, kind of tugging on my shirt hem, just tugging on and saying, hey, I just want to make sure that we're okay here. I just want to make sure we're safe. Can you just let me know that we're safe? And what we know that children can be very vocal and very loud. That's totally normal. And what do we do, right, with children? A lot of times they will quiet down when we acknowledge them. And we remind them that they are okay and that they're safe. So that's where we can really get in touch with just, you know, ground ourselves and get in touch with our kind of get out of our head and get into our body and say, hey, maybe close your eyes, take a deep breath. I hear you. We're going to be okay here. We're going to be okay no matter what we decide to do, no matter what choice we make. We're going to be okay. I got us. Because that's what those inner voices, that's what that rebel is scared to. That inner rebel who is just trying to stay safe. I always like to think that any of my inner selves are just scared and they just want to be acknowledged and heard. Whether it's the rebel, whether it's a child, just acknowledge it, acknowledge her and let her know that you're safe. So that's what I got for you. All right, y'all. It's 6 o'clock already. So I am just, again, so looking forward to being here with you every month and to really dig into a lot of these resources and trusting your body, because I think that they are just sometimes the missing piece to us figuring out our overeating and our binging. And I will be here. I'll also be very, I'll be very active in the Facebook group and the binge support group. So I'd love to see you over there as well. Okay, y'all. All right. Take care. I'm going to go get some water. All right. Have a good night. Bye-bye.